Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Wanted to make mention of just a couple of things here. There is a lady in the bulletin in the center columns here, Janet Skeen. And Janet was a member of my church, the church I pastored down in West Virginia, Twin City. And she is up in years now and has been diagnosed with cancer, serious. And so she goes to church with us every service. She's probably listening right now. And just one of the finest Christian ladies you'd ever want to meet. And she called me this week and gave me the news about her illness. And so I assured her we'd be praying for her. So if you'd remember to pray for Janet Skeen. She's a wonderful gal, wonderful gal. Her husband was a character. He was a jewel of a fella. And he was one of those that would get excited when you sing and when you preach. He just loved the Lord, and he would get excited. I can still see his face. I'd be preaching away, and he'd just get all excited and red in the face, and I'd think sometimes he's going to burst. He's just going to burst right there where he's sitting. But he never did, but anyway, what a wonderful guy he was. And then, we asked you to pray for Bobby Aldridge and Jack and Darla Bowman. Dwayne Aldridge he and Bobby were here for years, and Dwayne passed away this last week, and so I don't know if you remember, Dwayne used to sing special music a lot, and was always a smile on his face and a good testimony, and he loved the Lord. So they since he got ill, they have not been able to come to church like they once did. But anyway, if you remember to pray for them as well. All right, let's look, please, at Revelation 13. And I want to just point out a couple of things here, and then I'm going to develop something tonight that I hope will be informative for you. In the Bible, we are told that God's name is Jehovah. All right, That's the story where Moses in Exodus 3 saw a bush that was burning, but it was not consumed. And he went over to see what was going on, and God spoke to him out of the bush. And God told him, "You go tell Pharaoh to let my people go." All right? And Moses said, Lord, who do I tell the people has sent me? There has to be some authority given here. Somebody with authority has to, be sending me to talk to somebody like the Pharaoh. So God said, "You tell Pharaoh, I am that I am hath sent you." All right, I am that I am. Now, that is one of the most tremendous statements you're going to find anywhere in the Bible. And that is what became known as the tetra, which means four, grammaton, which means grammar, letters. All right, the tetragrammaton. And you remember in Hebrew, in ancient Hebrew, they did not use vowels. All right? Now, I know that's hard to fathom, but they did not use vowels. You had to guess what the vowels were. Seriously. So you had four consonants that made up the name Jehovah, that the King James translators translated Jehovah. All right, so you had, so God had and has a name. And that name, Jehovah, is so sacred. It was in the Old Testament and it still is today in Israel, that they will not say the name. They will not write the name. In a sentence, they will just simply draw a line underneath, and you know to put Jehovah or God in there. All right? They won't even write it. They say that their opinion is it's too sacred, it's too holy, and so they won't even write it. Now, over time, instead of using the name Jehovah, they simply referred to the Lord, to God, as the name. The name. All right? So they used the letter Shin, all right, which is, it looks like that on a piece of paper. If you're looking at it, it looks like that. It's got three things to it, three little sides to it. Now, what that is telling us is that the Lord, our God, is one Lord. All right, one God. We don't serve three gods. We serve one God, and that one God represents as Father, Son, and Spirit. So you have the name. All right, the name. Everybody see that? The name. And that's how they would refer to the name of the Lord. Now, just as God has a name, God also has addendums to that name. Some are literal, some are symbolic. All right, for example, they'll take the word Jehovah and then they would add to it, and God's the one that did this, all right? The Lord himself said, gave his name, all right? For example, Jehovah Shalom. So God is the God of peace. Shalom means peace, all right? Another one is... Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means righteousness. So Jehovah is righteousness. And there are El Shaddai, all right? The El, of course, is God, all right? It's Hebrew for God, Shaddai is a word that actually means many-breasted, all right, many-breasted. And the idea behind that is that God is able to care, to nurse, to provide for everyone. He is the El Shaddai, the multi-breasted, able to provide God. And all these other little names, all right? So that in and of itself is an amazing study, all right? So then you have all these names for the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? He is, you remember, he took the Gospel of John and identified himself as the I Am, all right? You remember that? And he said... He said, for example, I am the door, All right? No, you can't get into heaven without going through me. That was his point. That's what Jesus was saying. You got to go through the door. You got to go through me to get to God. Then there, of course, was, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the water of life and the bread of life. I mean, there's all these I ams. I am the light of the world. I am over and over and over. He, in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus used these things to give character, reveal his character, and show men who he is and what he can do. All right, so it's absolutely amazing. Now, from that standpoint, look at now this 13th chapter, and I want to show you the anti-Christ. All right, the anti-Christ. If you look at 13:1, you'll see that John said, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea." And this beast that he saw was the Antichrist. Now, we know that during the tribulation period, this Antichrist is going to rise to power. We, the church, will be taken out before this happens. All right? We do not have to endure the Antichrist reign of terror. And I'm so glad we don't. All right? We get taken out before this happens. But what we see here is we see a beast rise up, and he's fierce. If you'll look at verse 2, it says that he was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And notice this, and who? Dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. Exactly right. All right, and so Satan is the one who will give him his power and his seat. That's authority. All right, that's his authority. That's his throne, if you will. And it says, and great authority. And so it says in verse 4 that they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Well, they're going to find out. I mean, they're absolutely going to find out when you get over to chapter 19 and you see the Lord Jesus stepping out of heaven and coming back and the Battle of Armageddon taking place. We're going to see who is able to do to make war with him. All right, so here's his character now. Look at verse 5. "There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So 3.5 years. All right, now watch. "And he opened his mouth and in blasphemy against God." So for 3.5 years, this beast is going to just be the most vile, the most wicked, the most murderous person, thing on the planet. I mean, it's going to be awful. All right, you will notice here. Then it says verse 8, it says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him." Huh? You say, well, I wonder what the Greek word is for all. Exactly. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So there will be people saved during the tribulation period. These are people who have not had a clear presentation of the gospel and the opportunity to reject it. All right? All right? They've not had that opportunity. So there will be people saved. All right? Now, look down, please, to verse 11. And I beheld, what's the next word? Another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. All right, so you got Satan, the dragon, and you got the beast, the Antichrist, and you've got a second beast who is the third person in the satanic small g Godhead. All right? He said, and I beheld, verse 11, another beast coming up out of the earth. And then in verse 12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So I didn't read that, probably should have, but if you'll look at, let's see, where is it? Verse 3, it says that one of his heads was wounded to death and his deadly wound was healed. So the dragon healed him, and the world wondered after the beast. So he gets shot or something happens and he dies, head wound. But then he's brought back to life. Now, make no mistake, folks, this is going to be in front of the entire world. The whole world's going to see this, I'll guarantee it. You say, well, how's that possible? It's called satellite TV. That's how it's possible. I mean, you turn on the TV, you sit there and watch what's going on all over the world every day. And so that's how the world is going to see this. He is going to be resurrected. Did you get the word? Resurrected. And don't forget, everything that God has, Satan has an imitation of it. Everything. Everything that God has, Satan has an imitation of it. God has his word. Well, the devil has his word. All right? The devil has his word. God has his church. The devil has his church. And on and on and on, on and on and on it goes. All right? So, look now, please, go down. Go down to look at verse 17. I'm sorry, verse 16. Let's go to it. It says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So that's 666. All right, now leave your Bible open right there, and let's pray, and then let me point out a couple of things. Father, we ask you now to bless and open our understanding tonight. Help us to see what is about to be presented, and just give us ears to hear. May the Spirit of God bless your word to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want to show you something this evening that I hope with all my heart will be something that will give you a little bit better understanding of some of the things that we are seeing take place in our world today. All right, one of the things that is happening in our world today is the fact that America is being infiltrated big time by young Muslims being flown in and established here in America. Now, you say, Pastor, you're just trying to scare everybody. No, I'm telling you the truth. We are being bombarded, and it started way back years ago. And then when Obama became the president, millions of Muslims were allowed in the country. They chartered jets, went over to the Middle East, loaded them up on jets, all their luggage, their earthly belongings, and they came here. Now, what you don't know is that that they were given money to help them get settled and established. They were given jobs. They were taken care of, given insurance, and were able to set up just like it was nothing, because for them it was. It was nothing. All right? It was all paid for, and they brought during Obama's tenure as well as during Biden's tenure, they brought millions of Muslims into our country by the boatload and by the plane load, millions of them. Now, once in our country, this was all by design. Do not think for a moment that this was just a groundswell of events. No, this was not something that just happened. No, this was planned. This was all worked out on paper and then executed, and it is what it is today. So here was the plan. As soon as the folks got here from overseas, many of them began running for elected office, and they put themselves in situations where they like Dearborn, Michigan. All right, they just came into Dearborn, Michigan in droves, and then they elected themselves in the government, the local government. And they elected one of their own to be their representative in Congress. Her name was Rashida Tlaib. All right? Now, she wasn't the only one. There is another one who came into the country on false pretenses. They know she did, and that's Ilhan Omar. And she got into the country by forging documents saying that she was married to her brother. You say, is that really true? Yes, look it up. Look it up. Don't do it right now, but look it up when you get home. All right? Yeah, it's true. All right, now look what is happening. Look what is happening. I mean, you've got in Minnesota where Ms. Omar is in the House of Representatives, you've got $9 billion worth of fraud that has been discovered. Now, you think about that. Not $9, not $900, not $19, but $9 billion. That's a lot of zeros. All right, how many of you could live on $9 billion, do you think? Do you think you could live on that? I believe I could. It'd be rough, but I think I could do it. You know, it would really be rough. All right, but the point is, folks, all these people started running for offices, and many of them have been elected. We've got many Muslims in the United States Congress, many of them. We've got governors. We've got mayors, school board members. And make no mistake about it, it was by design. Why? They are doing their dead level best to fundamentally, does this sound familiar to anybody? Fundamentally transform America. All right, we have this thing that our forefathers drew up. And I believe they were led by God Almighty in putting that piece of paper together called the Constitution and all the articles that go with it. And an amazing set of documents. They don't like that, though. They want to change that. And that's what the mayor now up in New York City is saying. We're going to do away with rugged individualism. And we're going to introduce the sweet collective. His exact words. Now we'll see how sweet it is when they run out of money. And they will run out of money. All right? You can only tax so much. And he's already told them that he's going to take away property rights. I mean, it's 2026? Socialism has never worked anywhere it's ever been tried. But Mom Donnie thinks it's going to work in New York City. Oh, he has to know it's not. But they don't care. That's not the goal. The goal is Sharia law. That's where they're going. And so America needs to wake up and realize that that's what is going on. Is happening. Now these folks like Omar and Tlaib and Iona Presley and a few other radical Muslims, they do nothing but trash the country. That's all they do. Criticize America and then advocate for Islam. All right? They then advocate for Islam and for the Muslim nation to succeed from which they came over here from. They want that to succeed. And of course, there's another thing they do, and that's hate Jews and hate Israel with a passion. They want their total destruction. So what's going on? Well, here's what's happening, folks. In the Bible, there is a plan for the last days. It's called eschatology. Now, let me spell that. That's a big old 50-cent word. E-S-C-H-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y. Eschatology. Now, you know that anything that has ology on the end of it means the study or the science of. And eschatos simply means future things. So eschatology is the study or the science of future things. And the Bible has a clear eschatology, a very clear eschatology. It outlines and maps what God's plan is for the future, for the last days. Now, I said to you this last Sunday that the Bible has mapped out for us what is going to happen in these last days. You see, God is by no means finished with this world. He's not done. Now, yes, we are in the church age today, and we have been since Pentecost. We are in the age of the church. And that I emphasize to you Sunday that every revival that God ever sent was sent through the local church. It's just, God's plan is to use the church to do his work. Now, I didn't design it that way. God designed it that way. I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. But God's the one that designed it that way. So God is not finished with mankind yet. It's been 2,000 years since we last heard from God Almighty. But mark it down, the Lord, Jehovah God, is not done with this world yet. There's much more that needs to happen. Now, do you remember what the Lord Jesus told us in John 14, 1-3? Let me refresh your memory. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God," Jesus said, "believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Now, the Lord Jesus cannot lie. Titus 1:3, God cannot lie. So Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If that were not true, I would not have told that, said that to you." But it is true. And then he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now listen, here's the promise. "And if I go," and he did, "and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So what is that a promise about? That is a promise that the Lord Jesus is coming back for his own. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back for us. That's good news, isn't it? Indeed it is. Now, there are, when he comes back to get us and we are taken up to heaven with him, there will be many things that will begin to happen. And this is where That little 5R outline that I have given you, and I hope have drilled it into your mind, this is where that little 5R outline kicks in. All right? In Revelation 4, we have a picture of the first R, the rapture. The rapture. All right? Everybody just flip back to that fourth chapter for a moment. He said in verse 1, after this, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Now, who was the door? All right, there you go. A door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet. Yeah, you remember Paul said that the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first? Yeah. So what's he describing here? He's describing the rapture. Look at what he said. He said, which said, come up hither. What's hither mean? Here. He's in the clouds. He said, come up here. You guys are done down there. Come on up here. All right? Come up here. And I will show thee things which must be, what's the word? Hereafter. So God's not done with us yet. So you got the first R right there. That's the rapture. The second R is ruin. And that begins in chapter 6 with the rapture, taking place, the tribulation period will begin. And that is described for us beginning in chapter 6 and going all the way through chapter 18. All right? Everybody got that? So that's the ruin period. Now, why am I calling it ruin? I'm calling it that because I needed an R word. All right, just making sure you're listening. I'm calling it that because that's what it's going to be. Judgment. Wrath. Tribulation beyond anything anybody's ever seen. Okay? And so that's the ruin. Then we have in chapter 19, we have the return. And if you'll look at chapter 19 real quick, you will see in verse 11, it says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Where'd he get those? From us. At the judgment seat of Christ. All right, remember those flaming eyes in chapter 1? John turned around to see the voice. How do you see a voice? Well, you just figure that where there's a voice, there's somebody speaking, right? So he turned around to see, and there was the Lord Jesus, and John said that his eyes were as a flame of fire. Woo! Wouldn't want to mess with that. All right, so then it says, and he had a name written which no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called. You know, it's pretty serious when you go messing with the Bible. If you haven't been convinced of that yet, and you're still here in the church because of the stand I take on the Bible, I'm not compromising on the Bible. There is no way, shape, or form. So don't, those of you who are members of the Bible of the Month Club, don't bring your latest edition and say, here, Pastor, read this one, you'll like it. No, I won't. I just tell you right now, no, I won't. So don't waste your time, all right? All right, so he says, and the armies, which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. That those armies are us. We are going to fight with him in the battle of Armageddon and defeat the armies of the Antichrist. All right, then chapter 20 is the reign, R-E-I-G-N, the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. All right, everybody see that? That's the millennium. And then in 21 and 22, you have the final R, which is restoration, the new heaven and the new earth, eternity. All right, now that's God's plan. Now, for everything that God has, the devil has a counter for it, a substitute. And I want you to know that Islam has an eschatology. It has an eschatology. And if you were to take the Bible's eschatology, those five R's, and you were to lay it over top of Islamic eschatology, it's a perfect match. Yeah. All right, now listen carefully. Here's the difference. Islam's good guys are the Bible's bad guys. And Islam's bad guys are the Bible's good guys. It's all backwards. It's all flipped on its head. That's Islam. It is an imitation of biblical eschatology. Please understand that. So when they're sitting in Congress and they're saying spouting stuff like we need Sharia law here. Oh my goodness, don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. As a matter of fact, when you hear that, you better get on the horn. Not that it's going to do any good in Maryland, but you ought to get on the horn and call your senators and call your congressmen and say, hey, don't allow Sharia law to come into this country. Don't allow it. Now, folks, we are aware that God has many names that he has given himself, and these names explain his person and his character. Jehovah is the covenant name of God, all right? And there's no mistake that God has a name, and that name is Jehovah. And the Lord our God, what's called the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 4, I think, or 6, the Lord our God is one Lord, the Shema. And every good Jew repeats that every morning in his prayer. The Lord our God is one God, one Jehovah. All right? Now, that's God, and that's the Bible. And that's the introduction. Well, we're cruising, aren't we? Y'all know what time it is? I'm sorry. I got 2 minutes, and there's no way I can give you in 2 minutes. Can I show you one thing real quick? Let me just show you one thing, all right? All right, I want you to think with me now. All right, this tetragrammaton, these four letters. All right, see it, picture them in your head. J, H, V, H. Those are the four consonants in Jehovah. All right, you with me? Now, in Aramaic and in Hebrew, letters also are pictures. Okay? Now, especially ancient biblical Hebrew. All right? The first letter, which looks like a J, in Hebrew is called a yod. Yod. All right? It looks like someone is extending a hand. All right? It looks like somebody is suggesting, here, I want to give you something. All right? It's extending a hand. It's just a little bent. Well, it'd be this way. Just a little bent, and it comes down like that. And it's a picture of an extended hand. All right? The second letter is the H-E-H, heh. It's the H sound. And it represents an enclosure. All right? Like a house. Like a house. Heaven. See, you hear the in it, the heh sound? All right, now watch. Here's what it looks like. It's a line that comes over here, and then it doesn't touch up here, but right here, it's a line that comes down. All right, that's a heh. What does it represent? It represents an enclosure, a house, like heaven or a home. The third letter is what is called a vav. A vav. And that third letter, it's just a little like a comma, a big comma, but it's like a comma that's not quite in the word, but just its tip is just above a word, like right there, and it comes down to here. All right, that's a vav. Now, what's it a picture of? Well, it looks like a nail. It is just a line, and it looks like a nail. Now, it gets its picture because you would hold that nail and you have a hammer or a stone and you are engraving and you're hitting that thing with the hammer or hitting it with a piece of metal or a rock. And when you hit it, and on the end, it makes a V. All right, a yod. So that letter is it is the one that is bent on the end because it has been struck. Something hit it and made it look like a piercing. All right, hang on, don't get ahead of me. Then the fourth one goes back to the second one, which is the H sound, the heh sound, and it's repeated. All right? Now, everybody got that? All right, listen. J, V, or J, H, V, H. J, H, V, H. All right, you ready? Put it together. And here's what Jehovah is showing. Watch this. God reached out his hand out of the windows of heaven. He gave us his son. He reached out his hand. He sent Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And what happened? There's God's hand. And what did we do? We put a nail in it. Y'all got glory bumps? You should. We put a nail in it. And Jesus took our punishment for sin. He took our punishment for sin, all right? He was driven. And then what did he do? He died. He was buried. He rose again. And then, J-V-H. Then what happened? Last one. He went back to heaven. You say, why are you doing it that way? Because Hebrew goes right to left. That's why. Sorry. All right. You see that? So that's the picture. That's the picture. And folks, make no mistake about it. His nail-pierced hands were foretold and prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures. Psalm 21, verse 16. They pierced his hands and his side. They pierced. Exact word. Exact word. All right, does that make sense to you? All right, so that's... Now, next Wednesday night, I want to show you some things about the false God, who is Allah. All right? I'm going to show you some things about him. And, of course, where you're going to learn about him is in this piece of trash. All right? This is a Quran. Yeah, you're not going to, you're going to learn about him in here, but you're not going to get out of here about him what God has revealed against their own understanding. You can't mock God, folks. I'll show you that next week. All right? All right. I hope that wasn't too heavy. You got it? You got it? You got it? Folks, we gotta save our country. We gotta save our country. All right? Father, thank you now for your word. I pray you'll bless this to our hearts. Thank you so much for the Bible and how the Bible teaches us who you are, our Jehovah God. Father, we are so thankful that we serve the God of heaven, the God of creation. And I just pray now you'll bless everything we've heard tonight. Help us to grow by it. And may the word of God just strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.